Welcome back, folks, on this Monday, the 25th day of March, 2024. I'm your host, Mark Call, and quite a weekend it was. World War III is in full swing, heading towards what looks increasingly like a nuclear inevitability. In communist America, treason continues on so many fronts, it's almost impossible to stuff them all in a half-hour show. And it's so bad, even some of the lesser criminals are finally being made examples of. No, not Letitia, Jesse James, or even the unbelievably compromised Fanny Gigolo Conflict Willis. But at least a few third-tier swamp creatures are starting to cave. Boeing has announced, for example, that three of its top so-called executives, including DEI CEO Dave Calhoun, are stepping down amidst the continual turmoil over safety of its passenger jets, which continue to have parts fall off and almost fall out of the sky. Good riddance, obviously, but don't look for any real improvement anytime soon. Calhoun is going to be stepping down at the end of 2024, but will remain at the helm of the rudderless poster company for woke, politically correct, utter incompetence until then, or until something really breaks, which may end up not even having anything to do with Boeing's self-immolation, because, as you've probably heard by now, there was a major terror event in Moscow over the weekend, and increasingly it looks like the same geniuses that took out the Nord Stream pipelines are behind this one too, and it may even end up being more obvious sooner. But in the unlikely event that you missed it, the story goes something like this, depending upon which sources you look to. Terrorists, or at least somebody's paid assassins, attacked a major music venue in Krasnogorsk, a suburb northwest of Moscow, on Friday afternoon, Russia time, just days after the American embassy in Russia warned citizens that you'd better get out of there because something's coming, which Russia, imagine this, seems to now find a bit suspicious. ISIS has taken credit for the deadly terror attack, which is about as close to an open admission that it was an American intelligence operation as you're going to get. Given as how we know, and Barack Hussein Obama even admitted it openly, that ISIS was trained and funded by United States intelligence, using the better part of a dozen terrorists armed with everything from grenades to fully automatic weapons. The assassins broke in, opened fire, and killed over 100 people, basically right off the top, and in the process, firebombed the building. As we approached the end of the weekend, the death toll was approaching 150. Some have been captured and confirmed that they were, in fact, paid assassins. They just don't really know, and this is no surprise, where the money actually came from. ISIS has formally claimed responsibility, and the Kremlin, again, no surprise, is demanding answers from Washington. And I don't believe, folks, that anybody really believes anybody else is ever going to tell the truth. But Jack Posobiec is among a number of respected reporters who are saying that CIA stench is all over this one. And furthermore, more and more people are pointing out, hey, what happened to all that weaponry that the Biden Führer oh so conveniently let slip into terrorists, Taliban, and probably, yep, maybe it's the same thing, but just different heads of the same Hydra, ISIS hands after the debacle in Afghanistan? It's the gift of terror that just keeps on giving. But I guess they knew better than to use American attack helicopters in the process. Commenting on the geopolitics, Jack Posobiec said that, quote, the issue is that Russia hasn't taken the bait yet. They want Russia to roll into Western Ukraine, to roll into Transnistria, to roll into a NATO neighbor, whether it's Finland, whether it's Poland, one of the Baltic states, said Posobiec. And so that's where these provocations are going. And unfortunately, he added, this isn't going to be the last one. It's the first of a new incursion, unquote. Dmitry Medvedev, who seems to have an increasingly good command of English epithets, has basically said, toning it down just a bit, that they're mad as hell and not going to take it anymore. Still, though, the real question on everybody's mind seems to be, have the Biden-Führer's puppet masters finally provoked Russia into pulling out the stops and going for the nuclear option? And for that, I turn next to a piece from Russia Today by Dmitry Trenin, research professor at the Higher School of Economics and a fellow for the Institute of World Economy and International Relations, also a member of the Russian International Affairs Council, who said that it's time for Russia to give the West a nuclear reminder now that Washington is clearly openly waging a proxy war in a bid to inflict what he called a strategic defeat on Moscow, and a tougher response is thus needed. And noted Vox Day, this is the second public warning through Russia in less than a week that they're no longer willing to permit the USA and its proxies to continue waging a proxy war directly against them without experiencing some repercussions. Wrote Trenin, A proxy war between the nuclear powers is already underway. Moreover, in the course of this conflict, more and more restrictions are being removed, both in terms of the weapon system used and the participation of Western troops, as well as the geographical limits of the theater of war. It's possible, he continued, to pretend that a certain strategic stability is being maintained, but only if, like the U.S., the player set a task of inflicting a strategic defeat on the enemy at the hands of a client state and expects that the enemy won't dare use nuclear weapons. That's a dangerous assumption, he pointed out, that's growing increasingly iffy. Because strategic stability in its original form, with the idea being to prevent a sudden and massive nuclear first strike, only partially retains its meaning under current conditions. Strengthening nuclear deterrence could be a solution to the real problem of restoring strategic stability, which has been seriously disrupted by the ongoing and escalating conflict. But he said, instead of a passive, we need to talk about an active form. Because the adversary, quote, should not remain in a state of comfort and believing that the war he is waging with the help of another country will not affect him in any way. In other words, it's necessary to put fear back into the heart and minds of enemy leaders. The beneficial sort of fear, he said, it's worth stressing. Because it also needs to be recognized that the limits of purely verbal intervention have been exhausted at this stage of the Ukrainian conflict. Channels of communication all the way to the top must remain open around the clock. But the most important messages at this stage, he said, must be sent through concrete steps, doctrinal changes, military exercises to test them, underwater and aerial patrols along the coast of the likely enemy, warnings about preparations for nuclear tests as well as the tests themselves, the imposition of no-fly zones over parts of the Black Sea, and so on. And he continued, the escalation ladder doesn't end there. Military technical steps can be followed by real acts, warnings of which have already been given. For example, attacks on air bases and supply centers of the territory of NATO countries and so on. There's no need to go further, he said. We just need to understand and to help the enemy to understand that strategic stability in the real and not narrow technical sense of the word is just not compatible with armed conflict between nuclear powers, even if, for the time being, it's being waged indirectly. And here I think Vox Dei's translation is quite astute. Russia, he said, doesn't need to nuke anyone yet or even rattle its nuclear saber. But since neither the USA nor the European states have been willing to pay any heed to, one, the comprehensive defeat of Ukrainian forces in Ukraine, two, the series of tactical defeats of the NATO forces in Ukraine, three, and this is obvious, diplomacy, or fourth, and finally, the observable geostrategic imbalance in favor of the BRICS nations in general. In other words, folks, the almighty dollar's coming apart, and they've put the pieces in place at this point to tear it down. Not that tons of traitors in Congress aren't trying real hard to help them, and we'll get there in just a minute. So, says Vox Dei, it's going to be necessary to inflict damage directly on the territory of various NATO countries before any negotiated settlements are possible. And if you wonder what that means, folks, I guess one way to put it would be, I wouldn't want to spend any time in Paris if I were a Frenchman. France, says a piece from the Daily Mail, just making the point, has raised their security alert readiness to their highest level ever following the big new Moscow terror massacre that they may have even had a part in. And even though Paris was already on high security alert ahead of the Paris Olympics this year, Emmanuel Macron held an emergency security meeting that they claim was prompted by the attack, or was it their attempt to escalate the war prior to that? Well, back to Vox Dei, and I do think this is an important point as well. It's one that I've stressed a number of times of late. Fortunately, even in the aftermath of the latest murderous attack on the Russian civilian population, it appears that Moscow intends to remain disciplined and will, at least for now, limit their response to military targets. However, says Vox, this will certainly be an escalation which will no doubt lead to an absolute explosion of fear, hysteria, and warmongering on the part of the clown world, pet politicians, and media outlets, and you know what he means by that, and quite possibly among the general population as well. Remember, the intent here is to get a war started, big enough to scare even the dumbed-down peons, because the deep state believes that in a war, even a senile terrorist tyrant like Joe Biden might actually get reelected. Or at least maybe they can pull it off and might be able to get away with it. So he says, and this is good advice anyway, folks, time to prepare yourself for the next stage of World War III, and we're going to find out the difference between a special military operation and an actual all-out global war. Here's an item that you might have missed as well. When nobody was looking, in the wee hours of Saturday morning, the whores in the House and Senate, both wings of the same evil bird of prey in both evil houses, did exactly what you knew blankety-blank and well they were gonna. The sellouts and the turncoats and the traitors, is there much difference anymore, all got together and passed another $1.2 trillion of new printed money. They call it a spending bill, and at least that part is more or less accurate. Because wouldn't it be horrible if this criminal government had to shut down, or even pretend to, just a bit? As if we cared, Zero Hedge's summary, and there are a whole lot of these up online, says the passage of the over 1,000-page bill that no one actually read anyway in a 74-24 vote in the Senate concludes several months of bogus drama on Capitol Hill centered around so-called Republicans demanding deeper spending cuts. Well, less outrageous spending increases, let's be honest, while they're still spending like drunken sailors, while the national debt has recently skyrocketed to over 34.5, but who's counting? Trillion fiat unrepayable ever bucks. The bill passed shortly after the 12:01 a.m. midnight plus a minute deadline, indicating that some federal funding technically may have expired, but the White Whorehouse Budget Office, what a laugh that is, said, no, they're not going to declare a shutdown, and so until it's declared, it doesn't exist. Kind of like if you don't declare that Biden's seen out or the emperor has no clothes, he must not be. And if you're curious, there were 101 rhino traitors in the House of Communists, along with 185 Democrats, meaning the pork bill passed the House by 286-134. And, oh yeah, let's not forget, Speaker for the Traitors, Mike Johnson of Louisiana, and Senate Majority Leader Chuckie Schumer of New York are all flapping in unison. After the latest debacle played out, MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene, introduced a resolution to vacate, in other words, introduced a resolution to oust this scumbag, too. And the Epoch Times notes that, ironically, but maybe not in the least surprisingly, a whole bunch of Democrats who suddenly love this new rhino may save Johnson from being ousted by the few remaining actual Republicans in either chamber. While you may recall that all the House Democrats voted with the Gang of Eight Republicans back in 2023, led by Matt Gaetz of Florida, to oust the scumbag Kevin McCarthy, several House Democrats this time around are saying, hey, why would we want to get rid of this guy? He's on our team, and he won't suffer a similar fate. Here's a related story, certainly illustrative, courtesy of Jordan Conradson and the Gateway Pundit, which says the Senate Democrats, communists all, on Friday night voted unanimously, listen to this carefully, to continue facilitating the nation's invasion by shooting down an amendment from Tennessee Republican Senator Bill Hagerty to the swamp spending bill that would have prevented the use of American newly printed fiat tax dollars to fly illegal invaders from foreign airports into various U.S. cities. Yeah, the term your tax dollars at work almost has new meaning, folks. So understand, and this is not a surprise, the disastrous latest sellout does nothing to secure the border, and I guess that's an improvement because the other one would have positively opened the floodgates even wider, giving even more invasion powers to the Fuhrer. But it still funds all the unconstitutional, illegal crap that the regime's been getting away with, from LGBTQ programs and cutting the genitalia off kids, to funding the Biden-Fuhrer attack on the Second Amendment with yet another federal gun-grab operation and more red flag infringements. Said Bill Hagerty, posting a clip from the Senate floor on Friday night, every single Democrat voted against my amendment that would have stopped the Biden-Fuhrer, he didn't spell it right, from using taxpayer dollars to continue to charter flights for hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from their home countries directly to American towns to be resettled, countries like Venezuela and Haiti. And he concluded, make no mistake here, the Biden-Fuhrer has been secretly flying hundreds of thousands of illegals from foreign countries into blue city airports. And in 2023 alone, last year, it was reported that some 320,000 illegal invaders had been flown in using this method. Oh yeah, and this too, quick related story. Again, courtesy of the Epoch Times, as well as Zero Hedge, a federal judge, sick on Thursday, late last week, dismissed a lawsuit challenging a District of Criminal Swamp law, sick, that allows, get this, what they call non-citizen residents to vote in local elections and run for office as well. Judge Amy Berman Jackson, guess who appointed her, folks? And if you said the Obama-Fuhrer, who's still really running the country, you'd be right, found that a group of seven citizen plaintiffs lacked standing to challenge the legislation. But it's okay, the illegals can come in and they have all the standing they need to overturn your nation's rule of law. Because guess what? Have you figured it out yet? While you were sleeping, they took that away too. It's no longer your nation, not even remotely. With all that on the table today, it looks like a good time to talk about a interesting story that came out in Time magazine. I'm looking at a review and some commentary, courtesy of Tyler Durden and Zero Hedge. The headline says, Time, and they've got that in all caps, because it's a double entendre here. Time to panic. Joe Biden's campaign is in trouble, despite Obama's warning. And here's that warning, in case you're curious. A famous quote that, well, at least among the alternative press, doesn't seem to have made too many waves on CNN. Quote, don't underestimate Joe's ability to fuck things up, unquote. With less than 8 months to go before the 2024 next rigged election, the Biden-Fuhrer re-election campaign is, even though they don't want to talk about it, but time does now, which tells you something, it's in big trouble. Not only is Biden lagging in the polls, even the rigged polls, folks, against Donald Trump, the border crisis he created by shredding all of Trump's executive orders on immigration has resulted in the obvious 10 million plus illegals, invaders, and other foreign troops flooding into the United States, which even has left some Democrats livid. You know, the old-fashioned kind that aren't necessarily knee-jerk nutcases. What's more, says the piece, Biden's quickly losing the support of even young Americans, as well as the Latino vote. And things are now so bad that Time magazine itself, a leftist rag from way back, has devoted 3,700 words to let us know that Barack Hussein Obama, quote, warned the Biden campaign just last June that defeating Trump would be harder this time around because people are onto us. And says Zero Hedge, just maybe because they don't have another plandemic on tap. No, I don't believe that for a second, folks. Or a hoax dossier to set him up with. They got other hoaxes. Don't kid yourself. 6 months later, though, Barack saw, quote, few signs of improvement. And then Obama returned to the White House in December with a more urgent message that the re-election campaign to put this scumbag back in there was behind schedule when it came to building out field operations and that an insular group of advisors in the West Wing was hamstringing the effort. But now it's gotten even worse. Quote, 3 months later, the 2024 general election is underway and Biden is indeed in trouble. His stubbornly low approval ratings. It's funny how when people realize you're senile and that you're wearing your diaper backwards, it just doesn't inspire confidence. Anyway, those dismally low approval ratings have sunk into the high 30s, worse than any other recent president ever seeking re-election, or probably even ever, folks, if they were honest. He's trailed or tied Trump at best in most head-to-head matchups for months, and that means even the fully rigged ones. Voters express concerns about his policies, his leadership, his age, his competency. Notice how they don't say the fact that it's obvious he's senile, but we get the picture. This coalition that carried Biden to a rigged victory in 2020, they didn't quite put that as I will, has splintered. The Democrats' historic advantage with Black, Latino, and Asian American voters has now dwindled to lows not seen since the Civil Rights Movement, unquote. And that, again, was from Time magazine that nominally would be on any leftist team. The article's full of quotes and anecdotes from dissatisfied Democrats and outright socialists, particularly young voters, who perceive a series of betrayals by the Biden-Fuhrer, and according to the report, Gen Z, quote, doesn't understand why they should be compelled to cast their ballot for a candidate who's done so many things that are against their values, unquote. Now, this next section is where your host thinks the rubber starts to meet the road, and I find it really interesting, and I'm going to comment as I go through it. In 2020, they claim, the Biden-Fuhrer carried 87% of the Black vote. I'm not buying that for a second, folks. I think a whole lot more Black voters saw through him and that they were simply able to get away with the claim that since we had those elections rigged for so long and people aren't used to the fact yet that there has been a change, we can still pull the levers, make sure you think that that was the real voter turnout and the real Black voter total, when in fact it was arguably nothing of the sort. But no doubt about it, they counted a lot of dead voters, Black voters, and dead Black voters that voted who knows how many times, and others that were just plain made up and photocopied. But even now, admits Time, the guy's only pulling 63%. And remember, I will still contend those are highly rigged numbers. The real numbers are probably lower than that, all of which they do say is a sharp decline. Meanwhile, 4 years ago, he allegedly again won Hispanic votes by a ratio of 2-1. Still, though, that's not going to sell this time around because he now trails Trump openly, even among the rigged polls and push polls in that same voter block. Biden's support of Israel amid the Gaza war has, quote, tanked his standing with Muslim and Arab voters, even though he's been letting them in by the trainload, particularly in must-win Michigan. Quote, overall, Biden's advantage over Trump among non-white Americans, they claim, has shrunk from almost 50 points, at least that's what we were able to get you to believe, in 2020, to just 12 points today. And again, that's still with as much polling as we can get away with rigging, according to the latest Times Sierra poll. Said one former Biden-Fuhrer campaign and White Whorehouse official, speaking on the expected condition of anonymity, it boils down to voters of color, and those voters are pissed, said the person. I think it's very likely he'll lose, unquote. And that is the reason, folks, why they need to jettison him or do something, and they're running out of time, thus the panic. What's more, says the piece, nearly two dozen senior Democrat sources told Time that Biden's, quote, campaign mechanics, structure, and staffing over most of the past year are partly to blame as well. Yeah, not just the fact that he's senile. He's got a bunch of staffers who can't tell what senile even looks like, which speaks volumes. Quote, while Obama was marching to re-election over the summer of 2012, his campaign headcount topped 900. Despite plans to hire nearly 350 new staffers, the Biden-Fuhrer campaign ended 2023 with only about 70 paid employees, according to campaign finance filings. Biden advisors, it says, don't care about the so-called president's dismal numbers with young and non-white voters, as the Biden Brain Trust, how's that for a weird name, folks, thinks they'll vote for him again regardless. Or maybe, this is the real point, hopefully we can convince people that enough of them did. And I think that's the reason for the panic, again, said senior campaign advisor Becca Siegel, earlier than any other presidential campaign ever has, unquote. Good grief. Well, folks, we are out of time for today. Thanks for being with us. I will note that finally I've gotten word that the new computer is back online at Heber Nation Radio Central. That means finally we're going to be able to do some live shows again this week, and means that we're out of time again for now. So I'll put this up. We'll have a little bit of silence, but we'll try to fix that later. Thanks for being with us again, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.